Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
If you want to help, tell me I'm an idiot. You're an idiot? I can't go downstairs. I can't stay here. I can't talk to Dylan. What do I do?
Marco! Wow.
So when in doubt, you kiss Craig? I gotta settle this with Dylan, huh? Yeah, you do! You really, really do!
Everybody, to your favorite Narbos and Broomheads podcast, a podcast about various things, mostly Degrassi. And this week we're going to talk about Moon Knight Desires, which is a fan podcast about the upcoming Oscar Isaac film or TV show Moon Knight.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just joshing you. We're talking about Degrassi still. The Next Generation. I'm Ted. Hello, everybody. So welcome. I have some friends here, some other new Moon Knight and Moonlight aficionados. What about the guy up the road? The dude up the road, who could that be?
That would be me, the biggest Gowan fan in the world.
Ooh.
I really like how this song really captures the essence of this episode. They really did a good job with that. Hi, everybody.
Would you say that it haunts you?
That's right. Yeah, I would say I wish I was making out with Tessa Campanelli to this song right now.
Borgie, Borgie.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. That's right. Well, I'm Barry. It's good to be back. I was off for a little bit. Life gets in the way sometimes, unfortunately. I should pause late for this because this is one of the funnest things I do in my life. But anyway, so be it. Good to be back. And you can follow me on Twitter. I got to tell you that at the end. I can't tell you that now. But we'll get there. And we will shoot it over to the O-Town.
What is up, everybody? I, too, am thinking about making out with Tessa Campanelli all episode.
Ooh.
Just kidding.
Ugh.
Yeah. Did you say ugh?
Yeah.
I would ship you two.
So rude.
Kessa or Tortney, right? That's...
Oh, Tortney's so sexy.
Yeah.
Tortney Campanelli. I sound like a turtle in a cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Tortney. Hello.
I too am back after a month hiatus, as I was informed before we started tonight. Life, you know, me and Barry, we got high profile jobs. We can't commit to every podcast episode like you guys can.
This is family bullshit. Where are your family? Your family's right here.
I can
right
show up for work for two months, and I don't think anyone would notice, so.
But no, I'm here. I'm apparently we're waiting for a trucker convoy. The next trucker convoy is coming to my city tomorrow, so woo-hoo!
Oh, you're not.
By the way, I love that tweet Alan said out, or that person that lost it all. I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but I mean.
Oh, I do not feel bad for the guy. Fuck that guy is how I feel.
What is this? I'm not on the Twitter. What happened?
When the trucker protest was going on, I tweeted about my message to the inevitable story about the person who's like, I regret going to the trucker convoy. And I told them to go fuck themselves in advance. And then the story came out this week of the guy that's like, I lost all my money. They were supposed to give it to me. You know what, dude? Enjoy living in your fucking van.
Down by the river.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He can't even live in his van. It's still impounded. And
yep.
Can't wait for the second convoy to show up. It's probably going to be super great. And that's all I'm doing. So, hey, why don't we go over to where daylight savings is always a thing.
Or never a thing.
Or never
a thing. Hi, everybody. It's Arlo, and I'm coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, where we don't do the daylight savings time thing. Everybody else does, but we don't. So I'm on the same time, and you guys all changed.
I feel like that was done because people in Saskatchewan don't know how to change their clocks. So
or tell time in general.
Just kidding to our Saskatchewan listeners. We love you.
You're just jealous. Uh-huh. You're just jealous because you still have to do daylight savings time.
You're right.
So jealous.
Isn't the U.S. abolishing it, though?
They said they are, and if that happens...
Oh, my God, what's the name of the act they're trying to bring in? It's like Sunshine... It's the stupidest name.
Well, if they pass it, then we're going to get rid of it in Ontario, so...
Obviously.
That'll be the end. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll all follow suit if that happens. There's one time they did double daylight savings time here. Do you remember that, Ted?
Oh, yeah.
It was late at like 11 o'clock at night.
That was in the 80s sometime, I think. And there's even a microbrew that puts out the double daylight savings time IPA.
Can you explain this? Decided to go rogue and go 2 hours back?
Two and a half. Well, so they went 2 hours back. So basically, right now we're an hour and a half ahead of like Toronto and Eastern time zone. So when TV shows come on 8 o'clock, we come on 9:30 here. Then they were coming on at 10:30. So it was like crazy.
Yeah, you guys have like the weird like half hour thing.
So it was a strange time.
Yep.
The worst part of that is Barry and Ted and I and a couple other buddies have a Wordle group chat, and they can do their Wordle when it's like 10:30 p.m. here.
Maybe.
And it's like midnight there. The worst part of it.
Just get a VPN and VPN yourselves to Newfoundland, and then you're... There you go. Problem solved.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to get the jump on the
Wordle. For Wordle?
Use the VPN app to get your Wordles in.
So who else is out there? Let's head over to Toronto.
Yeah, hi.
Well, who's this nerd? This nerdle. Talking about Wordle, nerdle.
My first Wordle is snake.
Super fan.
We should do a Degrassi Wordle. What words would we have? Snake, Shane,
who jumps, or bridge. Bridge is too many.
Falls.
Marco's dad, even though it's too English.
Pussy. That'd be Marco's dad.
In an Italian accent. You gotta do an Italian accent, though.
Yeah, we can do Marco, Craig, Manny.
Drums.
We can't do Emma. Oh, bitch. So, here we go.
Fetus.
Yeah. So, Van BJ. That's 500. All right, let's get serious. I'm going to go through listener mail. That's a new segment here.
We got letters, lots and lots of letters.
from J. Nika Hawks, who signs their email Nick, and says, I'm Nick, and I'm here to stake my claim as your youngest listener, 20 years old.
Ooh.
Were we ever so young?
That would have been born in 2002. Let me tell you about what life was like before September 11th, young one.
Padawan.
Grandpa.
As someone who grew up during the later half of the TNG era and Next Class, you have provided great context and conversations about things I previously justified as part of the times. You have introduced wonderful phrases such as, we hardly knew ye, to my lexicon. Much to the confusion of my friends. Your theme songs, shanties, poems, and parody songs constantly get stuck in my head. I cannot say enough about how much I am enjoying the Narbos and Broomhead community talk about Degrassi. So, Oh, and they're also looking forward to the anger that we're going to have in the Kevin Smith episodes.
Oh, you just wait.
Nick, we will touch base when we start doing some season 5, and if you'd like to come on and make references that us old people won't understand, then we will be happy to do that. Over on TikTok, yes, our TikTok is something else. Go check it out, Narbos and Broomheads and TikTok, on TikTok. We had
TikTok.com.
That's our email. The TikTok.
All right.
So David Sword wrote us on TikTok and said, just wanted to say how much I love the podcast. It's all I've listened to in the past 2 months. I wish I found it sooner. I have so much to say about Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. My sister passed away in February, and your podcast really helped through it. Which, that's like, dude, like, that, like, we want to thank you. That's, like, amazing.
It so, feels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, that got me.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So thank you so much, David, for making our podcast part of your life. And we appreciate you much more than anyone could appreciate us. So, all right. I'm going to go with some other housekeeping notes. Number one, sure. I guess it will be 4 weeks from the time you're listening to this. We're going to record the finale of season 4, the infamous Kevin Smith episodes. Friday night, April 15th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, start time. We're going to do the 2 episodes live, so if you want to join us for another live broadcast, we will put up the Facebook information. It'll be done between, we're recording this today, it's going to come out on a Tuesday in the in-between time. So by the time you listen to this, go to Facebook, look up Narbos and Broomheads, our Facebook group, and you will find a link to get to, the event page for Kevin Smith. Can't wait, everybody.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So again, that's April 15th. The other thing that we're going to figure out after we finish season 4 is I think we're going to do a couple of spin-off episodes, and we're still figuring out how this is going to happen, but most likely what we'll do is we're going to go 1 episode from season 5, and then every alternating week, each of us is going to pick another television show that we're going to review kind of randomly. But the television shows are going to be kind of retro, probably a lot of Canadian content. So for those of you in our regular demographic wheelhouse, that would be 30 to 50-year-olds, probably stuff that you're going to be quite familiar with. But each of us is going to take an episode to introduce you to a show that they like. And we're going to pick one of our favorite episodes from that show and review it the same way we do Degrassi. So, again, we'll keep you informed on our Twitter and Instagram feeds. And we're going to try it. Why not, right?
And hit us up with any old shows that you love, too. And maybe one of us will pick one of those up, like me, who hasn't picked a show
yet. Yeah, mine aren't set in stone yet either, so I'm certainly open to suggestions.
Yeah, so narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to email us, or if you just want to send us a quick note at narbosandbroomheadspodcast on Instagram or at narbospodcast on Twitter. So there you go, all of the notes for what's coming up. Lots of excitement, but in the meantime, back to you, Teddy.
Whoa. Thank you. Lots of housekeeping. Also, bathrooms are down the hall, and you have to smoke 50 feet away from the building when you go out for your... crushing the dirt.
Man.
No, it's fine. Just go on. Yeah, it's okay. And so shall we jump into this week's episode?
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, it's a doozy. This one is called Moonlight Desires, and it is season 4, episode 19. Director Phil Earnshaw, teleplay by Sean Raycraft, and story by one A.A. Ron Martin. In Canada, it came out January 31st, 2005. In the USA, United States of America, came out July 29th, 2005. Now, this was a Moonlight Desires was won by a. Does Gowan have the Medal of Canada, the Order of Canada? He seems like a guy who would.
I don't think he does.
Well,
he has
just
a lot
as
important. Judo nominations.
Well, there's
probably some judo wins.
Yeah, Alan, do you have this on vinyl?
Moonlight Desires, absolutely, I do.
Ooh, what do you want to tell us about it?
I don't have very much to say. I mean, most Degrassi fans will know this from being a big part of the soundtrack in School's Out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, some big-time Gowan there. I believe also All the Lovers in the World, another Gowan song played in School's Out. And there's a few other songs. Gowan is now the lead singer of Styx, so that's pretty amazing. But that's about all. That's about it for Gowan. I mean, I like the song. I don't know what you all think of it.
I mean, any Degrassi fans will probably recognize it, but I don't believe that it charted in the U.S. or anything. Like, I think it's sort of strictly a Canadian hit.
Hit number 10 in Canada, and yes, no charting information in the United States.
Is this the song that's playing when Joey is making out with Tess Campanelli in his shipmobile?
Yes.
Is
when
it?
Nice. No,
it's when he goes all the way.
When he's feeling up her bosom.
After, on the after, couch?
Yes, after the spaghetti got burnt and all that stuff.
Oh, hold on. Or is it when Wheels was making out with one of the twins on the porch?
Then too.
On the outside couch.
Really? Man.
Both times.
This song's getting everybody pregnant.
Y'all got paid by Degrassi for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. So horny.
I mean, that's
so
how horny. That's how they used to advertise it, everybody. When they would advertise this Gowan album, they go, get your dick wet to Gowan. That's
just like the Zit Remedy.
Yeah, very, very famous, snake. Very famous Canadian ad from the 80s. Go look it up. Mm-hmm. I swear it's real.
Yeah, DW2G, which is Dick Wet 2 Gowan. Call in the 10th caller this evening.
Yeah.
Say, radio.
Give me my DW2G, Dick Wet 2 Gowan.
Uh-huh.
And you could be the winner. Okay, so, yes, that was lovely. Yes, it's quite the tune. I think it's a jam. So jumping right in, we have Marco setting up the blood donor clinic in the gym, making sure everybody's on task, all the kids. Alex comes up to him and she's upset as she's the mascot because nobody has been the mascot before, especially somebody in the opening credits was his thing was being the mascot. For some reason, JT is not mentioned. Alex is now the mascot.
Yeah, I think Ryan Cooley probably just had the episode off, so they were like, I don't know, guess Alex is the mascot now. Makes no sense.
I think that phrase was said a lot of times in the writer's room and possibly on set going, I don't know, just, he's not here. Put Alex in the suit.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Shrug.
And it will keep making sense through the whole episode.
Mm-hmm. And the next episode as well. And I was hoping that there would be, someone would slip something in like, oh yeah, JT's been homesick for a while or something like that. And there was nothing.
JT's on a boat in the Caribbean with LD.
Exactly. He's a playwright now. He wrote a play and now he's too big for the mascot role.
Exactly.
Okay, so Marco tells Alex and Ellie and Craig that he's planning on doing summer school so he can finish high school early and then move in with Dylan. The gang looks collectively unjazzed about this. Ellie's issue is that he's going to be graduating early, and Craig's issue is that he's moving in with Dylan.
Craig, who recently asked Ashley to marry him.
And Ellie was living with her scuzzy boyfriend in a shitty apartment.
Yeah.
Ferret Bueller?
She Cross. Wasn't fucking the ferret. It was Sean.
Interspecies.
Like, Jesus.
Is that like a Richard Gere type style relationship?
We don't, come on.
Oh, what's happening?
Wasn't a gerbil.
It's a gerbil.
Allegedly, everybody.
Allegedly.
Marco also makes mention that all of this hoopla is being done because Caitlin Ryan, who we haven't seen Caitlin since, I think, the shooting at the school, is going to be doing some sort of feature for her show. And we're going to find out over the next couple of episodes, Caitlin all of a sudden is just like, I really want to do stories about this random high school that I used to go to. Like, for
so
some
many
reason.
Stories.
Yeah. So Caitlin is going to be back. Can't wait.
It's a really bad idea to decide to move in with your boyfriend without having a discussion about that. I think we should point that out.
Uh-huh.
And also, Dylan lives in a dorm, so is Marco's plan to move into the dorm?
Yeah, it's fine. As we'll see later, a single bed.
A single bed.
I was just concerned what Mr. Del Rossi was going to think about it all. That's all I could think about.
That crossed my mind.
I mean,
but I was also focused on Marco's hat. It says, triple five soul.
So Marco says it's not a big deal, but he says, okay, it's huge. Yeah. I noted this is stupid. We have the opening.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. That's right. He said it was huge. So by huge, Marco meant penis. So by this, he was telling everyone the other things don't matter. Dylan has a big penis.
Uh-huh.
That's how it works.
Canon.
Canon.
Yep.
And I mean, his penis is a cannon. That's what I actually mean. And,
yeah. That's by cannon. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Marco was hoisted upon their shoulders and paraded through the school. winner.
Everyone stood up and clapped.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we get the show open, which after the last couple of episodes, I can't not hear.
Yes.
So.
Thank you, Stacy, for bringing this up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moaning and stuff in the background. So Dylan and Marco roll up in front of the school in the car. Marco, they're talking about a bee being in the car, and Marco's brave now, but he would have jumped out a year ago. But he jumps out now and says that he'll see Dylan at the party tonight, and then that's it. Inside the blood drive is going on. And there's content warning right here. The first shot is Spike getting an actual, like a donor, blood donor needle, which is super thick, into her actual arm. And that's intense. Like, I give blood fairly regularly, and you kind of go, ugh. I'm fine with needles, but just I find when on TV you show a needle shooting into somebody, like a lot of people really fear that. It's not something you should really, you don't need to do it.
Yeah.
When you give blood, Ted, do you feel like it's breastfeeding out of your arm?
Well, that's what I always tell the nurse, and she's like, sir, I told you, you can't keep saying that. And I'm like, it's like breastfeeding out of your arm. It's like,
who the fuck thought of that line? Like, yes, that's your, let's put this in. That's exactly what it's like. What?
I mean, it had to be a guy that wrote that line, right?
100%. Yeah. As a former breastfeeder, not the same.
So the needle's the baby.
Come here, needle baby.
Ow. Uh-huh.
Oh, not so sharp. Careful. I also noted on the billboard or whatever it was that it's called the Toronto Blood Management Blood Drive or something.
Perfect.
And that made me laugh because that's, I think, totally made up. A totally made up organization.
It has to be.
Yes, I am the Toronto Blood.
It's Canadian Blood Services, everybody. Like, that's the name of it. I'll give them a shout out because they're a client of mine. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, you're welcome. Voila. You're welcome, CBS.
Toronto Blood Management, not a real thing.
Every city has its own blood management. Yet.
I just picture somebody at a desk with a bunch of like blood bags all over the desk, and like they're like swooping it around, and there's blood going everywhere. It's like I'm managing the blood, and it's just going everywhere. It's leaking off the desk.
Yes, I am senior blood manager. How can I help you?
Yeah, so Emma says that staying quiet might go a bit faster, which I hate when the show makes me agree with Emma, but I have to agree with Emma. Like, shut up, Spike.
I mean, she could have just said, what the fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck? Breastfeeding? What the shit? Like,
Worst line ever.
So Caitlin's interviewing Miss Hatzilakis, and they're walking through the blood donor clinic, saying that it must be hard inheriting a school with one student who shot his own penis off and killed himself, and another shot his legs off. That's not true. That's just me making notes to myself when I'm writing and going, yeah, that's funny. But then it's like, that makes no sense. So she does set up. She's really like, the thing is this is supposed to be for local TV, but like Rick's parents are still out there, and Jimmy's parents, and Jimmy can still see this. So
I find it odd that she's bringing this up, but whatevs.
And also, she says to Miss Hatzilakis, "You've turned it all around." It's like, what did she turn around? Like,
how do you turn around
in the half season that she's taken over? What, Craig almost had an episode. There was a teacher fucking a student. Like,
well, they were able to remove those barricades that were near Rick's locker afterwards. You know,
yeah,
those are gone now.
Yeah,
success.
Yeah, great. Good job, Miss H.
Mm-hmm. Shoot for the stars. But I mean,
if you compare it to Raditz, she really did.
Yeah. Give him that. Yeah. I mean, there was a fucking, what was it, gonorrhea outbreak at school? Like, what a turnaround. Good job, Miss H.
She should have mentioned that in her list of things that were bad when she took over.
Yeah. She's like, well, that gonorrhea outbreak was a result of the shooting, so that's not on me.
And then she secretly shows her bracelet and winks at the camera. That's Hatzilakis.
My name is Patient Zero Hatzilakis. I started it all.
Don't tell. So Miss Hatzilakis, they're making their way through the crowd. Miss Hatzilakis says that Marco's the real hero of the school because he's the president, and he organized like school dances and things like the blood drive. So great. That's good. On the camera, there's a bunch of non-playable characters, NPCs behind the camera waving. You will not know these people's names. Mm-hmm. They do not have names. They essentially don't exist. So, out of nowhere, Alex, in the mascot suit, tackles Marco, and he has a tray of cookies. That goes flying. He gets up and says, "Stop tackling me." And I noted that this was very fun. What universe? Oh, it's the Degrassi universe that this makes sense. He is being interviewed, and the principal is there, and she just rushes him, like Jackass style. Jumps on him and goes, and everybody's "I jinx." The footage Caitlin is shooting will air at 8 p.m. that night, but she wants to get some shots of Marco donating blood as well.
Okay, I'm going to say it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, a big problematic thing with giving blood is that they won't allow homosexual men to donate blood.
Yes.
Like, the moment that Dylan and Marco pull up and the sign is behind them about blood drive, mm-hmm. immediately I'm like, oh, like...
Same.
Like, we all know where this is going.
Yes.
Marco is not going to discover that this is an issue until he's about to give blood. And I'm thinking, like, no one bothered to tell him? Like, it's not like the secret thing.
No.
Right? A lot of people know it, and even in that day and age... It was something that people knew, and it's quite a controversial topic. So yes. I'm very surprised that it had not been mentioned or, discussed in any way, that he's going to be surprised when he finds out.
Well, obviously he's not going to discuss it with his parents, right? And, like, you know, I guess I can buy that, like, high school kids maybe aren't paying enough attention to know that. But, like, Dylan should have clued him in, man.
And, like, Caitlin...
Caitlin,
let's... We can maybe guess that Caitlin knows that he's gay. Like, we're not sure. You know, Marco is really good friends with Craig. And he's in a band with Craig. You'd assume that Dylan might be around at those things. Like, Marco's hiding it from his parents, obviously. But Caitlin probably knows. And, again, doesn't say anything. She's just like, here we go. There won't be any problems here. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, anyways.
Yes. And this is still a rule in place today, which is because you still get asked it on the questionnaire. Have you had sex with a man in the past 3 months, I think, or something like that? So, jaw.
I just check yes to everything on the sheet. And,
are you pregnant?
Take my chances. Yes. Yeah.
Well, apparently Canadian Blood, I did look it up, of course, and Canadian Blood Services is apparently, like, committed to making changes where they're, like, looking towards targeting high-risk behavior rather than
mm-hmm.
just specifically whether you're gay or not kind of thing. So we're not there yet, but it seems like there's something being made at least, which...
Yes.
And that's such government speak. as I work for the government, saying that we are committed to examining the effects of.
Yeah, we've only had reliable testing in place for 30 years, everybody. Yeah, like, come on. Give it time. Please.
It's such a shit. Yeah. And this government claiming to be as progressive as they are should have addressed it already, but they haven't. I have a story about donating blood, which
Do tell.
Well, I'm not a gay man, but it is related to this general topic. So I gave
blood. Hold on here. I just want to write a note here. Courtney, not gay man. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check. Yeah.
Go on.
So I donated blood years ago. And the way I've learned this through the process, they when you donate blood, they run your blood through a cheaper test to determine if there's any red flags.
So like a rapid COVID test, but for blood.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So when I donated blood, I got this letter a couple weeks later. And it's like, thank you so much for donating your blood to the Red Cross, yada, yada, yada. Unfortunately, when we ran your blood through yada test, we determined it had indicators of HIV or something. Like something.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
So this was the leading paragraph of the letter they sent me.
I love how it's like a letter is how we address this.
Yeah. So this was early 2000. So I guess letters were still the way to go. And so obviously that's their opening paragraph, terrifying. And then they blab for another two paragraphs. And then it's like, we conducted a more specific test on your blood and you determined, no, you do not.
Why send it?
Spoiler alert.
But they waited till like the bottom of the letter to tell me that everything was fine.
So I have a story too. So I did this is a few years ago now. But I had done a STD test. And so then I've done a few of them. Usually they'll just say, we'll contact you if there's an issue. If you don't hear from us in a couple of weeks, it's fine, you know? But in this particular case, the doctor said in advance, one way or the other, we're going to call you back in and talk about it. I'm like, okay. So they call me and it's a blizzard. And they're like, yeah, we're ready for you to come in. Like, not a huge emergency, but if you can come in, you know. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to drive through the blizzard because I want the results. So I get in, I'm sitting in the waiting room, and I tell the admin assistant that I'm there. And then they go over to the door and knock on it, and the door opens, and she's talking to the doctor through the door. And then she looks over at me, and then goes inside the office and shuts the door.
Oh, you go, come back!
I'm like, well, that's not a good sign. Eventually, she comes out. They have me go into the office. And then, like, as slowly as possible, he goes through every single thing they test for. He's like, okay, and on this one, you're, let's see, negative. And on this one, yeah, I was negative on everything. He could have just been like, you're negative on everything. But no, I had to sit there in anticipation of every fucking little bit of it. So, yes, doctors out there, better bedside manner with the STDs, please.
And don't send letters anymore.
The opener. You tested positive for HIV. Three paragraphs down. Kidding.
Just kidding. You're okay.
Yeah.
You tested positive for a great attitude. What? No.
Well, I got really drunk after that, obviously, and then I called the Red Cross at like 1 a.m. really drunk and left a really mean voicemail.
Oh, jeez.
And they called me back, but I didn't answer.
That was the mature thing to do.
Yeah.
It was.
Wow.
I was like 22.
Did you call the kids helpline after that?
It hurts. Yeah. Ouch.
So we're at the dot where Spinner is working. We hear a coffee cup annoyingly being tapped, and it turns out it's Jay, and he's tapping the mug.
Did you notice the dot menu on the chalkboard in the background?
Oh, no, I did not.
The soup is cream of leek for $3.25. You can get ding dong chicken for $4.25.
Delicious. Ugh. Like, I would not order chicken if it was $4.25. Like, unless it's a, you know, a two-piece meal at, like, Popeyes, but a chicken meal at 425 at the Dot does not sound like something.
This is Ding Dong Chicken, man.
Oh, all right.
Have some respect.
All right.
For $4.75, you can get linguine with pest. Not pesto. Pest.
It's a rat.
Covered in linguine. And they also have a pulled pork sammy.
So, Jay is pissed with Spinner because he got them expelled when Jay actually got himself expelled. Spinner is serving a table of older ladies. This is ramping up. This was something else.
I wrote stuck-up bitches, just to clarify.
So Spinner goes over to the table, is lined off with about 6 to 8 older ladies and their water. And the head lady, her name is
Mary. It's Mary. Oh,
Mary. And she says it like that, I'm sure. So we ordered lemon with our water, and Spinner, and there's lots of Tilly hats going on, which I take offense to because I'm the owner, proud owner of a Tilly hat, of a couple of Tilly hats, and plaid thermi on the table.
It kind of like reeks to me of like, have you ever heard of the Red Hat Society?
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, it's obnoxious like that.
What is that society? I know people in it, but I don't know.
It's based on a poem called Warning by an author named Jenny Joseph, and it was like popularized in a Reader's Digest article. And it's like this poem about how when she is an old woman, she's going to wear a purple dress and a red hat that don't match, and she's going to be carefree, and, you know, she's not going, like, the idea is that she'll live her old age in a carefree, you know, individualistic way.
Oh,
you know, and live her life how she wants or whatever. And then so people have glommed on to this and decided that they're all going to also march to the beat of a different drum by also buying red hats and purple dresses.
Fuck. Old ladies are
and
so
I'm like
weird.
I'm strongly reminded by like these lyrics in a King Missile song called It's Saturday, and it goes, I want to be different like everybody else. I want to be like, I want to be just like all the different people.
Yes,
and that's sort of what it reminds me of. But it's like this society of women over 50 who all wear these red hats and these purple dresses and, you know, strive to be kooky. I'm not sure why they selected the Dot for their
ladies' odd choice
situation, but
they definitely should have went to the Bistro instead.
Yep, the other option.
That's more their speed, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were drawn in by the cheap prices for the chicken meal.
The Ding Dong Chicken.
They can feed it to their fucking dog.
They're eating chicken and they're bird watchers. And that's pretty funny. First we watch them, then we eat them.
Circle of life.
Yeah. Pigeon is like urban chicken. So the main lady has brought a dog into the restaurant. When Spinner says, can't have dogs in here, she says, I didn't hear any complaints, ladies, and looks to the table. And I'm like, that's not how complaints work. You don't look to the person you brought and go, do you have any complaints? It's like, no, it doesn't. The world is not like that.
Yeah. Also, the customer is always right is bullshit. And Spinner should have been like, I'm complaining. Get the fuck out.
Yes. But Spinner says, I'm off soon, so I don't really care. And then, we have a twofer for one Teddy. We have a combo of condescending speak and baby talk. So she says, and bring a bowl for baby bear so she can have some too.
Oh.
I was going, and I crawled under my kitchen table and went to sleep for a little while because I was so stressed out and mad at the same time.
If you recognize this actress, it could be from any number of places. She's basically had steady work since 1980. So just sort of the usual Canadian TV suspects, Danger Bay, Street Legal, that kind of stuff. More recently, she played an English teacher in Mean Girls.
Nice.
And she was in the movie Chicago, where she played Billy's secretary as well. So those might be some places where you might have seen her.
She, her behavior makes that dog seem so puntable to me.
It looks a lot like my dog, actually.
Yes.
It's a Basman, isn't it? Uh-huh.
Or Baz. Baby Baz. You take Baz to restaurants like that, Barry?
I do, yeah.
You get my baby's
water. Bring some water for baby Baz. Baby Baz.
Oh, just loving this. This is great. So back at the donor clinic, Caitlin and Marco are talking, and the nurse comes over very worried looking and asked to speak to Mr. Del Rossi, and I'm like, don't tease me. And for them to stop shooting, this wouldn't happen. If you've been to a donor clinic before, they're extremely careful about confidentiality. Like, they wouldn't, like, you go in a room, you wouldn't even, nobody come over with a concerned look on their face and be like, you need to speak to me, especially not in a blood donor clinic where things can show up in your blood, obviously, and certain things on the, like, you're answering a lot of intimate questions about your life on this questionnaire. They would never come up questionnaire in hand going, I need to talk to you. Oh, terrible. So the nurse says that since he ticked, and this is out in the open, mind you, not behind closed doors. The nurse says that since he ticked yes, that he had sex with a guy, he can't donate.
But of course, they can't say the word sex. Like, she's not going to be confidential enough to, you know, not approach him in private. But then she can't bring herself to say the words sex with another man.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-mm. Because you umped another
And she he goes, what?
You stuck your in another man's
Yeah, you there was a, and then you umped, and then you umped is Yeah.
And by saying you umped another do you mean as in man? Because you're represents a number of words.
And then you and the did a you know? Yeah.
Yes. So the nurse says this, that he can't donate, and that's just how it is. And she walks away.
We all know now that what really would have happened is he would have got a letter in the mail.
That's right.
Please wait 4 to 6 weeks before I respond to you.
Yes.
So this episode is descending. So strap in. In Miss Hatzilak's office, Spinner shows up with plant and as a gift, I guess. And Mrs. H says, you shouldn't be here, Gavin. And this is like, she says it in like a way that you would say to a lover, a spurned lover, you shouldn't be here. So I'm thinking that there was more than a page in Mr. O going on in the school. The way she flutters her eyes, like, I shan't. Like, it's very soap opera-y.
So in this school where earlier this year there was a shooting and someone died, a student can just walk in the front door, past the secretary, into the principal's office, and no one does anything.
Because he had a plant. Mm-hmm. You're carrying flowers.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
You're inconspicuous.
Mm-hmm. Nothing in the rule book. So he says, yeah, he didn't make an appointment because he was afraid she wouldn't see him, yet he can walk right in, like, past the secretary. Mm-hmm. So I guess in that sense, appointments are a detriment to you actually meeting with somebody when you can just show up and walk right in. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Why put another step in there?
Bingo.
So he tells her he's not taking the expulsion lightly, and he's been keeping up with the studies. He says his textbooks. Mrs. H says, you were supposed to return those. And it's very, like, almost catty in a way. None of this seemingly has been discussed previously. When you get expelled, you get your marching orders. Like, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening.
Well, and there's, like, there's programs and things after you. Like, you don't just get expelled for the rest of your life. Like, Degrassi is not the only school in the greater Toronto area.
Yes, it is.
And like, there's programs where you can like write your exams and things like that. Like, there, it isn't. It doesn't make any sense. I know show got a show, but it's.
But it makes zero sense. It's like there is reality that you could work with, but this is
also
not...
like conceivably Spinner has no parents at all to help him navigate this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Well, yeah. I mean, he thinks he can come back into the school with a plant. And like,
what's your problem with the plant?
Well, it's so stupid. No student would ever do that.
He's like, I go here again now, don't I? I got a plant.
Here's your plant, hey. Fucker.
Well, it's the only option. It's the only high school in the GTA, so.
Yeah,
this is true.
There's Northern High, isn't there?
Yes, there's Earl Grey, I think, was another school mentioned early on.
They're like, he's like, I can't go to the school that lost the trivia show.
Yeah,
Are you kidding me?
In a season or two, there's Lakehurst. That exists until it gets burnt down, so.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he's like, I need my textbooks for exams. And she's like, you will not write exams. He's like,
you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
What the hell?
You can't do any educational things. Now that you're expelled, we just want you to go into the criminal justice system.
Like, yeah, you just have to wander the streets with Jay like you're in purgatory.
Yeah.
more on that later.
What does happen when you get expelled? Like, is this anywhere close to reality? Obviously, aside from the visit to the principal's office.
We talked about this in a previous episode because my husband actually did get expelled.
Wah, wah.
I knew it.
We talked about it again, too, and just, like, the finer points of it. So apparently, like, if you're, like, a bad kid, like a bad kid,
bad
then, like, you don't go to the interim school. You're probably going to jail, if that's the case, or juvie, right?
Juvie.
But if you're, like, a good kid that just effed up kind of thing, then you go to this, like, interim school. Until they can find, like, another place to place you, basically. But you don't just, like, twist in the wind.
Mm-hmm. So Mrs. H is willing to offer summer school, but Spinner says he can't do it because it's only 2 credits. That way he won't have enough to graduate. Miss H flips out at Spinner and saying that Rick is dead as an indirect result of his bullying. This is the second incident of Mrs. H acting like getting mad at the child for the system that they live in and making poor choices, I guess.
He doesn't have a dick anymore because of you. He got buried without his cock. That's Come on, Gavin.
Yeah, in a dream sequence, the penis is rolling down the hall. And it's like, no!
I also think about how, like, she was brought in to replace Radich, and I can't even imagine how much worse he would have made the situation. Probably way worse.
The HR at the school board is not good. They make bad choices.
It's true.
He says he needs to finish his year, and she just says no. So we have then Spinner storming out of the office. Far as the plant down in the garbage, we hardly knew ye, plant. Back at the donor clinic, Marco leaves. A desperate message for Dylan to call him back. Marco talks to Ellie, Craig, and Alex about not being able to donate blood. And Alex says to stop whining and start complaining. And I'm like, you're threading the needle there, Alex. Like, that's not opposites. That's very similar things. Saying
I love how Alex is such a shitty friend. It's like
everything is just she's like a dog on a chain, just the way she acts all
okay
the time.
Is she a dog on a chain or is she oily rags? Pick a lane.
Pick a lane, Ted.
Come on now.
She's an oily dog. She's all lubed up. That's why I can't keep chain on her. She keeps slipping out of it.
Also, an important line for later in this episode, Marco says that him and Dylan have only been with each other and they've been safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
To be continued. So she motions over that she can use that as a show box, which is Caitlin and her camera. Was this Martin Lawrence? Marco pitches the story, goes over and says, prejudice and homophobia at local high school, and Caitlin's eyes practically turn into 2 beating hearts because she loves this. She's like, oh, this is so good.
She's like, you know Spike, who was just here a few minutes ago? Mm-hmm. I wrote a story about her and how she had to get kicked out because she was pregnant, and I didn't even ask her about it.
I changed the world.
Yeah.
Marco, where's the editor of your school newspaper? I need to meet with him immediately.
So Marco, who is hiding his homosexuality from his parents, is like, put me on the evening news tonight.
Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. Go on.
So is he banking on like his parents not understanding the English?
I mean, now I maybe. He's like, what?
He's like, look, Mom, I got in the news for so many pussies.
I mean, it doesn't, they actually don't specify that Marco is prepared to talk about himself, right? Mm-hmm. He might just say, did you know that this is a policy? So maybe that would be his plan, that he's not going to say that it's his own story. Who knows?
Because he says a student.
Yeah.
But he's really upset. So you go, it's not that far-fetched to go, that's you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So they start filming right away with a student who is visibly upset. And they go over and ambush Nurse Davis, who I'm sure is like, this is going to be a great day. As if she's the creator of the policy, Caitlin puts the nurse and Marco face-to-face to, like, fight it out, I guess, like a debate.
She's like, let's go talk to Nurse Homophobe. Hey, yeah. Come here.
Why do you hate gay people, nurse?
I've been on my feet for the 10th hour of a 14-hour day, like, and I need some kid and a friggin' junior reporter in my face. So she says he can't donate due to the policy and that she can't comment because she's not the spokesperson. I go, yes, that's kind of what you would do, but you would, like, Canadian Blood Services, there's this camera walking around. The whole problem is there's this camera and reporter walking around a private blood donor clinic. Like, you will be shooed out of there so quickly. The nurse goes back to work. Marco begins a monologue into the camera about a student being denied the ability to donate because of their sexuality. Now, Nurse Davis, this is kind of on her because she can't leave it alone, like, leave well enough alone. She jumps back into the fray and explains that there is higher incidence of HIV in the gay community. Marco says this makes it sound like all gay people are diseased. Enter Miss Hatzilakis, who shoves her hand right into the camera. Like, no more.
Yeah.
And shuts it down.
I was curious, so I did look it up. Of course, this is, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, so I looked up more currently if it's, like, statistically more likely. If you're a gay man, that you would have HIV in your lifetime. And unfortunately, statistically speaking, that is still the case.
Ooh.
Yeah, because of how it's transmitted. Like, yes, it is more likely, but safe is safe and testing is testing. Like,
that is also true.
You know?
Yeah. And a policy that prevents an entire community of people from donating blood on that stat is such bullshit.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yep.
You hear that, Justin Trudeau? I know you're listening.
Yeah, you hear that, Nurse Davis?
Get on it.
Change your ways, Nurse Davis.
He's like, I'm quitting.
Maybe Nurse Davis is Justin Trudeau.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh.
No, because at that time that they were filming this, Justin Trudeau was still in blackface, so.
Oh!
Just saying. Dang. Sorry. True, he was.
Not at that time. That's not accurate.
I was driving the other day and just kind of with my own thoughts, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, that happened. That was too bad. Just kind of whatever. So Ms. Hatzilakis tells Marco he should be proud of putting the blood drive together. His whole point that he says he's supposed to be the one of them giving blood, and he storms off. So I'm going, what the fuck? What's going on here? Like, you're mad? Okay, I guess you're mad, but she was just talking to you, saying, hey, great job, good, for putting this together. Anyways. Marco storms off. His storm offs per capita in this episode are through the roof. Just saying.
He does storm off a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we see Jay the Skeet trying
to pick
a bike lock on a bike that's chained up to a fence. He gives it a kick because he gets frustrated with it. And Spinner shows up and goes, "Hey, that's my bike."
That was great.
Yeah.
And I think in this episode, they are, I don't know if you watch Power Rangers. I had to ask my brother about this, but there was two like goofy goofball villains called Bulk and Skull. And they remind me of those guys, like just two doofuses. Like, "Ooh, yeah, get him, Skull." And that's what they play in this episode.
And then they complain that they're not in school and they're just bored. And it's like, that's why you're stealing bikes. I'm bored.
And he doesn't know his buddy. He doesn't realize that's his bike.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And,
yeah, because Jay blames Spinner for being bored. Like, so apparently in this universe, when you get expelled from school, you have to, like, it's like a bad sitcom where you have to hang out with the person who you got expelled with. So now, like, they can't leave each other's side. Like, that's the wacky school board order that they have to hang out. They don't have to hang out.
Well, they're hanging out. They're besties.
Yeah, I guess.
I think the thing is that they've been completely ostracized from all of their other friends. So if they want to hang out with anybody, it has to be with each other.
Including Alex, by the way, who was also in on it. Just pointing that out again.
Yeah. Free and clear.
Yeah, but then the gonorrhea happened, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"You'll never catch me. I'm too slippery. Bunch of rags."
So Spinner says, "Bike stealing is kid stuff, and the real stealing is at Degrassi." Bump, bump, bump.
I think there's a lot of other places you can steal better than Degrassi. This is me.
So Marco's at Dylan's dorm, and we hear music blasting, which is
Trippin' by Edwin.
Ooh, it's family favorite.
Fucking horrible song. It's so Edwin, who was the singer for My Mother Earth, which was a fantastic band, went solo, and this was the first single that they put out. And the chorus of the song literally goes, "I feel like a snake." So.
Oh, that's pretty good. That was pretty good.
Oh, we got Edwin here on the podcast. What a guest.
It's fucking rotten dog shit music. So, anyways.
Is it hard on yourself, Edwin?
But apparently, when I sing that, there's some part of the population out there that's like, "I'm horny, let's make out." So.
Mm-hmm. So that would be the Eric and Dylan population.
Yeah.
I mean, to Edwin's credit, he is quite sexy, so...
He's very short and sexy and dirty.
Did you say he's short?
Yeah, he's... I saw him after I Mother Earth. He, like, tried to form this, like, Canadian mega band with, like the drummer of Our Lady Peace and the guitarist from Tea Party, and they had this, like, super band. And they tried to get it off the ground. I don't think it got very far, but I saw them. And yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's very short. Very short.
Yeah, the chocolate and peanut butter of looks. The short and short and handsome and sexy.
Uh-huh.
The two go together. So Dylan's in the room with Eric. And they're not even rolling around on the bed, because if they rolled around, they'd fall off. This bed is, like, comedically small.
This cock is for fucking.
But they were probably the size of the residence beds. Barry, do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
size of, they were definitely made for one.
Anybody who lived in residence and tried to make out with somebody in residence knows can't roll.
That's very PG of you saying make out with them.
What do you mean?
Do some heavy petting on those beds.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Above the waist. Above the neck.
What was the resident term? The drag off.
The drag off, yeah. So the drag off was like if you hooked up with somebody, I guess, downtown or anywhere really, and if you went home with them to your room, it would be called the drag off. So there you go.
Okay.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I didn't make it up. I'm not
just a vernacular.
Yeah.
Don't nurse Davis me. I didn't create the policy. So Marco sees this and he bolts. Dylan gives chase. And Marco says there are better ways to break up than this. But Dylan says that's not the case because he's quite interested in humping his way across campus with many, many interesting people.
And while they're having this conversation down the hall, you hear us, "It's never very fun. I feel like it's not." So, just saying.
So that happens. And Marco yet again storms off.
So for those who are interested in polyamory, mm-hmm. this is not the way to approach your partner about it.
You mean just not just like, don't tell them and go, "Oh, damn, I meant to tell you.
I wanted to see other people. I'm already seeing other people."
He's all like matter of fact about it. He's like, "Well, this is what's happening now. I thought you'd be cool."
Like, yeah, you can't just decide on an open relationship without the input of your partner. Because that would be cheating.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's a pretty way to frame cheating.
I mean, if you and your partner agree on an open relationship and agree on a polyamorous relationship or something, then that's one thing. But like, if you're already doing it without consulting your partner, it's cheating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like robbing a bank going, "No, I was just taking money out of my account. That's fine. I was going to tell you." Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Well, also, so he gets caught cheating, and then he's like, his tactic is to be like, "Well, actually, I want to fuck more people too." Like, there's not even the "sorry, I didn't tell you," or "yeah, this looks pretty bad." He's just like, no, I want to fuck lots of people. It's cool.
But I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You little twink. Be mine. True love forever. So Marco is chatting with Ellie. And Craig, and they all get instantly snippy with each other. Which I don't get. It's just people can't talk normally in this universe. And they're all blaming each other about who's responsible for all the tomfoolery, for all the cheating. Is it men or is it women? Alex says about Jay that he was humping everything around town and blah, blah, blah. Craig says Dylan has a party tonight and back is what will get him. So now Craig starts speaking like Yoda. Which is great. Excellent.
Well, and also, so Alex's comment about Jay is to say, it's not, Dylan's not doing it because he's gay. It's because he's a guy. Mm-hmm. Craig takes offense to this. Craig. And so he calls out Alex, but then Ellie calls out Craig and is like, "You're fucking Ashley and Manny. Like, come on." So this is a weird conversation.
Wait.
It's so obvious and set up, but I also really love it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the school after hours. We see the custodian leave the room, and Spinner pops out of hiding in a closet with a model skeleton. And I was like, no, ridiculous. Spinner would not get in that closet with a skeleton. Because he's basically a Scooby-Doo villain right about this time. Spinner goes over and taps on the lab bench, and Jay pops out.
Rolls out.
And again, security measures are such that the mm-hmm. two expelled students were able to get into the school and wait there until dark, I guess.
Also, this is my favorite word, Ted. Mm-hmm. Hijinks!
And you know what I have written here?
Huh?
I suspect hijinks.
Yep.
Yep. It's so coming at you.
They snuck into the school and they waited in these places for hours. Is that what we were to think? Or how long were they in here? Like, I don't understand this at all.
Yeah, you'd have to get in when school was open. So let's mm-hmm. assume, what, 3? And now what is it? It's dark out. So, and it's near the end of the school year, so it's dark later, so it's probably 9.
So Spinner totally took a poop in that closet with that skeleton there. No, no chance he didn't.
And the way Jay just like acrobatically like somersault.
It was like it was spring loaded or something as soon as the door opened, he went flying out.
I laughed my head off.
So we're at Dylan's party, and we'll come back to the school hijinks. At Dylan's party, Marco and Craig find Dylan,
And Craig is surprised it's co-ed, which I don't know why. Uh-huh. He thought it would be like an all dudes party.
He's surprised and horny.
He's so horny.
Like, he's like, oh, show. I'm going to check things out. And it's like, you have a girlfriend, remember? I mean, you cheated mm-hmm. once, but.
So we leave them at the party, but we're back in the gym and Spinner is shooting hoops and Jay is throwing toilet paper into the rafters over, I guess, a light fixture.
Keep this in mind, by the way. Keep in mind that the toilet paper is in the rafters of the gym for something that they're going to say later.
25 feet up in the air.
Yep.
And yep. Good, good. Out in the main foyer, then we're still in the still in school. Jay is checking the payphones, and Spinner is neatly packing the chairs and the stools against the wall. What is going on in this scene?
Two people can't do that.
It's like not that. Rhetorical. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, like two people would not be able to accomplish that task.
But what is the purpose of this task?
They're barricading the door. So that if they set the school on fire, which is what they're going to try to do, they have no means of getting out.
Yeah, it's a suicide mission.
Oh, I don't get it.
Like, wouldn't you, like, beat the phones off the wall to get the money out of them instead of just hoping some change came out?
Uh-huh. Like, checking them for change. And there's no alarm in the school. There's no nothing.
Nope.
In a school in the middle of Toronto.
The point of the breaking was to steal stuff.
No, they just want to fuck with the school, I guess. Who knows?
But I mean, didn't Jay say the best place to steal stuff is Degrassi? Like,
yes.
I don't...
Yes.
Yeah, I thought Spinner's goal was, like, he wanted to break in to steal stuff.
Well,
they can't even keep it straight within an episode.
No.
So we're back at the party, and Marco says there are things are going good, so if Craig wants to leave, he can, which is kind of giving Craig the shaft. Craig says he's good, and he's going to stick around. They change the channel on the TV because Marco wants to see himself in Caitlin's piece about the blood drive.
Because this is what all the fucking university kids want at their party is, you know, turn the music down, stop the drinking, let's watch the news show.
The high
about
school
a high
kid
school blood drive.
Yeah.
Wants to see, yeah, this big story. So Marco, it comes on and it just reports the blood drive and not his soliloquy that he had. And Marco's mad. Yep. Eric, oh, yeah.
Caitlin's whole piece is like 15 seconds. And isn't university over in like April? And so this should be like June?
Uh-huh. You're right. Yep.
Time doesn't matter in Degrassi, so no. I don't know why I'm thinking about that. But
yeah, Marco's mad, but then Eric shows up and he says, Dylan, we're toasting the summer with kamikazes.
Do you guys want to know what's in a kamikaze?
Yes, please.
It is equal parts vodka, triple sec, and lime juice.
Oh, that sounds nice. Pretty good.
Did you notice the poster in the background as well? I couldn't read what came before the equal sign, but it's something equals party hardy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm sure we all had amazing posters in our dorms in university.
About partying, heartying.
Mm-hmm. Student crossing with that sign that the person crawling
because he's so drunk.
Yeah.
One of our dorm mates had parental was it the explicit lyrics whatever
that. Oh great. Yeah.
And one of our good friends looked at it, who he was the roommate of this guy, and he just sat on his bed, which looked at the poster right at it. He's like, that's stupid. And the other guy hung his head and said, but I like it. And it was stupid. And the other poster is like what I learned in class, and it's like all the beer and liquor bottles, like stickers. I don't know.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, lovely. So Marco and Craig are chatting, and I think Marco says that Dylan got him kicked out of the closet. It was kind of I couldn't really hear it here.
I don't remember.
No, it's not that important. And instead of making him proud, he should be making him jealous. So Marco's on a mission now. Great. More hijinks, hopefully. Back at the school, Spinner and Jay, they're looking through the yearbooks. Jay says he likes counting how many times he's in it. He comes to a grand total of two times.
Spinner apparently though is on every single page and in every single photo.
The expelled student is in all these fucking photos. Mm-hmm. There's one of him and Drake. It's like, maybe you should have edited that one out. Right. We call this the before picture. Look at him standing with me.
Oh,
yeah. Look at those legs.
Yeah.
This picture of Marco and Dylan, even though Dylan graduated.
Yeah.
All I can think is like the yearbooks were already at the printers.
Yeah, the Marco and Dylan one's funny though. Here's the university student that's banging the student council president. Kid,
So Spinner looks at this and he has an idea. He picks up all the books and says, "Follow me." Back at the party, Marco meets up with a guy named Mike. He says he's only seen this conversation is so very horny. He says he's only seen Dylan's room and he'd like to see another room to compare.
Hey, he's, and, you know what? Fucking Marco has game. Like, good for him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he didn't say, hey, there's a fire hose on the wall, but out in the hallway for fire prevention. But that's not the only fire hose that it's the only one I've seen. So I'd like to see another fire hose. Also, give me that peen.
No, but he's like, I might be coming here next year, but I've only seen Dylan's room. I'd like to see some other rooms to compare. And by room, I mean cock.
Give me that.
And Mike is like 100% DTF. He's like,
oh,
yep.
He's down.
Yeah.
He loves it.
And Dylan sees what's going on and is like, get that dick, Marco.
You go,
he
man.
Loves it.
Yeah, he's so fucking into it. He probably gets him horny. Like, he's probably a secret cuckold. He's like, can I watch?
So Marco's going to check out his room, but Mike needs to clean it up first. So, understandable, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, in residence, what you do if you're going out that night, you tidy up your room beforehand. This is a tip.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've done it. No rings on these fingers. Okay, back at the darkened school, Spinner dumps out the yearbooks and soaks them in lighter fluid and goes to set them on fire. But Jay stops him. We're going down the well for this episode. Then Jay says, yearbooks plus fire equals school burns down plus equals us in jail.
Yeah, that's a PSA. That's they play that as a PSA for years after. And they make a song, right? Books plus fire equals school burn down. And then we go to jail. Yeah.
If we could make the difference, don't light those yearbooks. I don't know, something like this.
Uh-huh.
Don't you know the flames shall not be burned? Whatever.
Shall not define us.
You know, you get the gist. So they start to get. So they're in a school at night. There's no cops. There's no alarm. They start to get in a bit of a tussle. Spinner pushes Jay. They actually get in a fight. And Spinner
worst
says,
fight ever.
Oh, it's really bad. He wants his friends back. And Jay says, as his friend's substitute, this is not the way. Jay says, we got to clean this up. Now, there's lighter fluid. And if you've ever smelled lighter fluid or anything like that, it stinks. But they're going to do it. And also, as I think you said, go back to the gym up at the roof of the gym. There is toilet paper all throughout the rafters. So they're going to clean this up. You know what?
They're successful at it, too, because, you know, we're going to have another scene with Spinner in the school later on. Yeah. And, like, no mention of this break-in. Like, they get away scot-free. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have the secret ointment that cleans lighter fluid off of yearbooks.
Mm-hmm. So they put them back in the box. And I guess just that's it.
Yeah. None the wiser in that school.
Holy God. So Marco and Craig are in the stairwell of the dorm. Craig is saying that Marco is a really good guy and he's building him up. He's fluffing his ego. Marco says he's stuck. He can't go downstairs to Mike's room. He can't talk to Dylan. But then Dylan enters the stairwell and Marco lays one on an unsuspecting Craig. I did enjoy Craig's face when he did this, after he did this.
Well acted.
Yeah, well
acted. Did you guys notice on the poster on the back wall of the stairwell, it's for a school's out party, it says. But, like, the word school is really small, and the word out is really big, and it's like out exclamation point party. And so then I was like, oh, is this a gay party? Like, school's out? And then, so it made me rewind it and look at the crowd and stuff. And I was like, oh, is that why Craig was surprised that it was co-ed? But then it seemed like there was, like, male-female couples in the crowd. So I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be a gay party or not.
You're giving the writers way too much credit there.
Yeah, settle down, Arlo. So we're on the outskirts of the party. Marco and Dylan have a conversation. Marco's on team monogamy. Dylan is on team dead ace. So he's all about that. And finally, Marco ends it with some Grey's Anatomy-worthy song playing in the background. What is this?
I have no freaking clue. There's two songs in this episode that I couldn't place.
Really?
So because I guess the artist isn't famous enough to be on YouTube or Spotify. So it's either a song called California by Gene Champagne, mm-hmm. or it's called A Fine Time by Shazay Jackson.
Ooh.
And I don't know which one it is.
I'm just going to imagine that it's I feel like yeah.
He's
yeah.
Sir Edwin is back.
Yeah. And also, why are they going to have a song called California in this and it's not Hang Ten by Edwin? I mentioned this before. A song that he wrote about surfing in California. He is a bartender in Toronto. So.
Fantastic. We're at Mrs. H's office. I call it Mrs. H. Miss H's office. Spinner Anderson says, again, just walks right in and says she does. She says, I don't have time to argue. What is this? What is this secret relationship they've had? Like, you don't. This is not professional talk with a student. Spinner tries to negotiate coming back. And he wants to go back to school and his friends, but he needs a chance. He doesn't realize, like, you can have these same friends, but not the school. There's not a package. It's not a combo meal.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Ms. H gives Spinner the forms for summer school and tells him not to screw it up. And Ted says, what? didn't he say he couldn't do summer school because he could only do 2 credits and he wouldn't finish on time?
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like she's offering it to him like it's a great thing.
Well, maybe it's his best option. Like, I'm confused about so many things. Again, he keeps entering directly into the office, which he shouldn't be doing. Like, he's been expelled. You can't just walk in. But he eventually gets what he wants. And also, again, like, there was clearly a break-in in the school over the weekend. Miss H, who turned Degrassi around, apparently. No one has any idea. No one has any questions. There's nothing. No security. Like, fucking someone got shot there. No security cameras. Nothing.
I don't get it. I guess if you ignore everything, then everything's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the guy who brought the gun to school is dead. So the threat is gone.
Yeah, but his penis is still out there, though.
rolling down the highways, rolling down the TCH, down the road. You'll know always be. That's right. So we are at CQ, the Cock JH station. Marco, that's the call letter. He talks to her about the scene she cut, and Caitlin says that some people would rather bury it, and that's not okay. So Caitlin is talking shit about the company who hired her, her radio station. She said she tried to do something about it before, and this is possibly the line of the episode. Last year, I even went to Africa. You go, you white savior. Africa. Darkest Africa? What? Are you crazy? A fucking superhero.
She saw a one-man gang turn into a Keem.
I mean, she was wearing all leather when she was with Claude, so... Yeah, now she's shucking and driving to Jive Soul, bro. Oh, I love how she's like, you know how there used to be AIDS, and then I went to Africa, and now it's gone?
And she just whispers, and she goes, you know what? Came back, no AIDS. That's it. Done. Thank you, Caitlin. That's what everybody should say. Caitlin says it's all about education. She offers for Marco to go to Africa or the Caribbean during his summer. Caitlin asks, does he have any plans? And he says he did, but plans change.
So bump, how did Marco get into bump, this? Bump. How did he get into the cock here? Like
everywhere you just walk into the cock.
JH.
The cock. Our doors are always open to our listeners.
Yeah. Put it in your ear.
So does Ellie not give a fuck about this stuff anymore? Like, does she doesn't still intern?
Ellie? We don't talk about that. That you only do things for one episode of Degrassi, and then
Caitlin's like, Marco, do you want to travel the world with me this summer? And Ellie has been toiling in the back archives for years. It's like, hey.
Yeah, no. Like, Marco, I interviewed you once. Like, I guess, again, she's Craig's friend, but, ugh, whatever.
Craig's friend who didn't know he was gay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I'm sure that, I'm not going to recreate the discussion, but I can only imagine the conversation Marco has with his dad about going and working with people with AIDS. Like,
oh, his no.
Horrible father. And yes, let's not, please.
Don't.
Marco.
No.
Don't. Don't. And that is the end of said episode. What a doozy. What are some thoughts about this?
The comments on the Degrassi Wiki are largely about people enjoying when Marco kisses Craig. Which is, you know, one of those scenes that is one of the more famous scenes in Degrassi. And then some other people were like, has anyone noticed that the song Moonlight Desires was also in the movie School's Out? So, good job. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. That was my comment.
Yeah, real detectives.
Uh-huh. I'm good with making those obvious comments.
I like this episode. I actually thought it wasn't that bad.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it.
There's things that don't make sense, but as a story, it was good.
Yeah.
I think the one character they do a good job with throughout Degrassi Next Generation is Marco. Like, they do a good story arc with him, but like the Jay and Spinner and the gym thing, that's just, jeez. But I did like Jay trying to steal his bike, though. That's probably my favorite
episode. Two dummies.
I do also think that this scenario is... like the relationship scenario is kind of realistic, like not just for gay people or whatever, but like I think that that does happen to people in their early dating life before they know what they do and do not want, kind of thing. They'll have a partner who's like, I think that we should, I don't want to stop seeing you, but I think we should start seeing other people too, that kind of thing. And I think people stick it out because they care about that person, but they really don't want that kind of relationship, kind of thing. So I don't think that that's an unrealistic conversation that, you know, a young couple would have.
Mm.
It's the classic one person goes away to university, the other doesn't. And it's not specifically a gay thing. It's an everybody thing, right?
Yeah, all of a sudden this person doesn't have no curfews, no rules, no nothing. They can go do whatever they want while the person in high school still has all those rules that their parents have, right? So
I actually was dating somebody who went to university, and I broke up with them and was like, you should go do these things.
So, and I did.
It was you.
It was you,
and then you gave blood and almost Alan got AIDS.
And he gave me AIDS, and then I donated blood.
Yeah. Great.
Sorry.
And then you got a letter.
Mm-hmm. I actually wrote the letter.
That's why it was written like that.
Yeah.
Signed, Alan. I mean, Canadian Blood Services.
Meet the Toronto Blood Society.
Yeah.
Toronto Blood Management.
Toronto Blood Society. Management.
Yeah.
It's all coming together now.
We good then?
Yeah.
What do we have next week?
Yeah, what is coming up next week? We have West End Girls. Every time I think West End Girls, I think about Inner City Pressure by Flight of the Conchords, which
inner
is
Inner City Pressure,
which is a homage to that Pet Shop Boys song. So yeah, next week we'll be doing West End Girls by the Pet Shop Boys, but that's just the name of the song.
Neil Tennant wrote the episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
And probably brought to you by A.A. Ron Martin or one of those people. So, yeah, I've been Ted. You can follow me if you wish at SayWa3 on the Instagram machine. Let's see. Let's go to Toronto. Toronto.
Oh, damn. Slip with Five Eyes on all the social medias. Follow us at Narbo's Podcast on Twitter, at Narbo's and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram. NarbosandBroomheads@gmail.com if you want to send us a note. And a reminder, April 15th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we are going to go live with the two last episodes of season 4. Head over to our Facebook group, Narbos and Broomheads, and you'll find the details for the event over there. Let's go up the road to O-Town.
O-Town. Well, as long as I'm not gobbled up by the next trucker convoy, I will be here next time. And Courtney.1293, that's my only social since I'm no longer in charge of the Instagram for our podcast.
I mean, you could. Like, you're more than... we both can just do it. You just stopped.
You know, because I forgot the password, and you're doing a good job.
All right.
So I just stopped. But yeah, it's all I got. So why not head west?
Oh, it's me. Hey, you can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. Barry?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn.
I think we got one more goodbye. Hold on here. I feel like I'll follow Edwin. Edwin at short and sexy at gmail.com. So.
Too short, too sexy.
Yeah.
69 at edwin.com. All right. Well, we've had a slice. We hope you've had a slice. And we'll see you next time on Narbos and Broomheads.
Peace out.
Bye.
Well, I said I told you my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe it would.
I would walk around the cafe, cut. Don't you get me,